You're listening to PodcastJuice.net. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Geeked Out PodcastJuice.net with your host, Michael Dean and Q Storm, the two Negroes in the theater. We are here today especially because we are talking about Iron Man 3 and its release date. We've both seen the movie. Let me forewarn you now. This will be spoiler-heavy conversation. So do not listen to the show if you do not want to know what happens in the movie. I almost said don't listen to the show if you don't want to know what happened to the plans they sent you. Star Wars. All right, that's right. This is Geeked Out. That's what we do. So, without further ado, let's get into Marvel's Iron Man 3. Of course, it is starring Robert Downey Jr. is back again as Tony Stark, aka Iron Man. This movie is a sequel to Iron Man 2, and also you could say it's a sequel to The Avengers. It takes place after the Avengers. Let's just get right into it. What were your initial thoughts of the movie, Q Storm?
Well, I could sum up my initial thoughts in two sentences. The first one is that it's a movie that is not greater than the sum of its parts. What I mean by that is, it's a movie that, when put together, a little bit of a mishmash, or not a mishmash, but a little bit underwhelming for me. But if you strip out maybe three scenes and put those scenes together with a better story, you'd have a kick-ass movie. The second thing I'd say about it is that, and I have proof of this by this article that I read in Entertainment Weekly that just came out this week, where they feature Iron Man 3. It seems like this movie, much like when I went to see Skyfall, the last James Bond film, and towards the third act of that movie, I felt like I wasn't watching James Bond. I felt like I was watching Rambo. With this movie, there are parts where I felt like I was watching a James Bond feature, as opposed to watching an Iron Man movie. I don't know if Robert Downey Jr. was like, I want to become Jason Bourne. But there were parts of this movie I was like, really? Tony Stark is doing this kind of stuff without his suit on? Okay, whatever. So those are my initial impressions.
Did you like the movie?
Like I said, there were scenes in the movie that I liked. As a movie overall, I'm not going to say I disliked it, but it wasn't. I found myself bored at times. And I thought what they did with some of the characters was just unforgivable completely. And I'm not even an Iron Man comic book reader. Mm. I never really read the comic in the past, or when I was growing up. But what they did to the Mandarin, I could see if I were a real Iron Man fan, I would be pissed.
Okay, and we'll get into that in a minute. So let me give you my initial take on this movie. Now, for those who have listened before, I loved The Avengers. Huge comic book movie hit. I liked the first Iron Man. I thought it was cool. I didn't love it. I thought Iron Man 2 was cool. I didn't really dislike Iron Man 2 like a lot of people did. But I thought it was just cool too. Let me say this. I had such high hopes going into this movie because, again, it's coming off of The Avengers. And I said during The Avengers review, I really felt The Avengers sort of raised the bar as a bench level for Marvel movies and comic book movies in general, that, wow, there was a lot going on in that movie. It wasn't a perfect movie, but I loved it. It was great. So this movie, high expectations. My initial thought, I was disappointed by this movie. One of my main disappointments in this is that a majority of this movie Tony Stark is not in the Iron Man suit. Now, for me, that's not what I want to see. When I go to superhero movies, comic book movies, I want to see the title character that's on the marquee be the focus of the movie. This movie's called Iron Man. It's not called Tony Stark. In the comic books, it's called Iron Man. It's not called Tony Stark. I would love to see more of the focus be on Iron Man, not Tony Stark. It's the same problems I had with the Batman movies. I think they're great, but I want to see man in suit. I want to see Batman. That's because that's what the movie's called. You know, the great thing I loved about the Avengers movie is that they have them cats in the costumes suit doing what they supposed to do. Captain America was Captain America most of the time. He wasn't Steve Rogers. He wasn't dressed like Steve Rogers. Iron Man in the Avengers was Iron Man most of the time. So in this movie, the biggest sin for me is the fact that the focus of it is on Tony Stark, which is fine if that was good and done dope. It is okay movie to me. But just as Q-Storm spotlighted, there are little things in there that didn't make some sense to me. And it was kind of boring. And there's only so much I can take of Tony Stark. I like the characterization. The acting was great. Robert Downey Jr. is great again. You know, you can't fault him for that. But again, I don't want to see that. I want to see the suit doing super heroic stuff. To get in a little bit deeper. Oh, the other thing. Don Cheadle. Iron Patriot. Why? What was the purpose? To me, added nothing to the movie, and I wanted it to add something to the movie. I think that character can be cool. I like Don Cheadle as an actor. It's wasted to me. Didn't make any sense. I didn't get it. Like, why? I can nitpick a little bit of the story, but listen, you know, this movie sort of supposed to deal with Tony Stark sort of having a hard time coming to grips with apparently himself, or like his place in the world of after the events of the Avengers. I didn't buy it.
Yeah, I did.
Go ahead.
I cut you off. I couldn't agree with you. I'm 100% with you on that. That was such a silly subplot, the whole PTSD crap.
Yeah, but I didn't understand. Like, what was his problem? He's a badass in the movie when he wants to be. You know, he goes at the, how do you say his name? Mandarin on TV, I guess, and literally gives his home address to a terrorist and like saying, come at me, bro. Basically, like, let's get it popping. So if he's balls enough to do that and doesn't give a damn, I don't understand why he's sweating, waking up at night sweating, you know, the events from the Avengers. It didn't make no sense to me. I'm like, you're Iron Man. You stand toe-to-toe with Thor, Captain America. It just didn't really convey why he was supposed to be having these problems. And like literally a little kid was talking to him, and this guy gets shook just on the pure mention of New York and the events from the Avengers. Was it really that traumatizing? He was the man in that movie. Like, wasn't he like one, you know, leading the pack almost, flying through the city, taking down legions of aliens, and now he's shook about it? This didn't make no sense, man. I couldn't buy it at all. The Mandarin. Let's get into the Mandarin. Now, I'm with you. I didn't know a lot about this character. I didn't really know anything about this character. I just look at the trailers, and it looks like, whoa, there's some dude. He's going to be bringing it to Tony Stark. I don't know if he got powers or what the situation is. You see him blowing up his house, you know, in the trailers and all that. He's basically Osama bin Laden. When I'm watching the movie, I'm like, okay, this guy's a terrorist, basically. He kind of looks like he's in the Middle East or something. I was standing there like, really? Like, these cats just went against basically Thanos, Loki, and the legions of whatever alien force. He's a terrorist. I was asking the question, why isn't Nick Fury and them dealing with that? Why isn't just the United States? It didn't make no sense to me. Like, if the events of the Avengers happen, what are you doing trying to blow up people? Who cares? I just didn't understand. It was no threat to me. Like, he's coming at the president, I guess. I don't know why. You know what I'm saying? He's hijacking TV signals. Shield isn't ready to step in on it. That just didn't make sense to me. Like, if it's supposed to be in the same universe as what we saw before, even the same universe as the last Iron Man movie, who's had a heavy Shield presence, right? Where the hell were they at here?
Well,
go ahead, man. Let me stop because I'll start railing. You go ahead.
See, now this is what I've said in the last two podcasts that where we talked about the Avengers. I said over and over again, if you have all of these characters on one screen, it's going to be hard as hell to give me a story that is going to be acceptable where I don't see those characters all on the same screen or dealing with the same or in the same universe dealing with any threat that these individual characters come across. Because you're right. Why it seems weird that after they saved the world from alien domination, that we're now, this dude should have been taken out in 5 minutes by the Avengers,
or at least looked into it. And here, let's say what's, so this is spoiler stuff. So the Mandarin ends up being a front or fake for the real sort of villain, which was this industrious CEO. I don't even know what the fuck he was, man. Like,
wow,
some other genius dude or whatever. Why he was, I mean, he gets played by Tony Stark at the beginning in a flashback on a pure nigga, don't you see him about to fuck move? Like, what are you, you know what I mean? Like, okay, Tony Stark's about to hit. And here come the nerd dude. Oh, Tony Stark, can I show you something? Dude, I'm about to hit. I'll meet you up on the roof, homie. You know, just a little punk ass dude. Get him out the way. So you turn around. He has a grudge over that to the point where he's now going to do all this extremities and create these. That was some bullshit. Like, really? Why would anybody have that sort of grudge over that? Like he played him or something. Like, you don't even know you, fam.
Well, that I can tell you getting fired up. So I'm gonna just have to jump in where I can, okay? And we're gonna do it back and forth. But I'm 100% with you. The motivation of the villain was not clear at all. I did not know throughout the movie, what does he want?
Right. What was he doing?
Even the president says, "What do you want from me?" And I was waiting for an answer. What does this guy want?
Yeah, I mean, what was the connection of why was he going to prison?
The only time the bad guy, who we are led to believe is the Mandarin, the only time he strikes out at Tony Stark is when Tony gives out his home address, and he only does that because he wants revenge for Happy getting injured in front of the Man's Theater in Hollywood. That was the first scene where the guy blew up after getting the drug, the extremist drug, I guess.
And now I sort of remember seeing that in the comic book, but why did he do that?
Well, the question is, was the guy supposed to be a bomb? Was that supposed to be a terrorist bomb that Ulrich Killingham was the industrial's name? He was a leader of AIM, which is, ironically, in the comic books, AIM was the group that created the Cosmic Cube or the Tesseract.
Right.
We'll throw that away for now. I don't understand, why did that guy blow up? Was that done on purpose as a terrorist act? And that's why Happy got injured, and then Tony Stark gives out his home address. And so guy comes at him, guns a-blazing, fucks up his house for that? It didn't
make any sense, right? What was the point of the bombings around the country anyway?
Well, here's what I pieced together, and you tell me if you can find a flaw in this. I think what, and see again, a movie, I shouldn't have to be writing in the screenplay blanks myself, but I think what it was he wanted to create the Mandarin as a threat so that the government would fund his extremist project. He was kind of being like Palpatine. he wanted the government to fund his extremist project because of this terrorist, the Mandarin, with whom he had propped up himself. So then once the government gave him all the money he wanted to complete the project, he would have an army of extremist soldiers and he would take over the world, I guess. I'm not really clear. That's the best thing I can come up with.
And that just, I mean, even if I go along with that, and again, that's a good job of doing that because it, well, one, then it would make me, okay, so like, that character, like every other character in that movie who keeps referencing it. Oh, New York. You remember New York? Do you really think your extremist army is going to hold it? Now, you know, there's Thor and the Hulk and Captain America will be coming for that ass. You really, in Iron Man, you're not going to go against, that's, it just doesn't make any sense. It's like it's referencing things, but the weight of those things aren't really played properly in this movie, but they matter because the characters keep bringing it up. And again, the core sort of dilemma for our character, since he doesn't want to be Iron Man in this movie, is that he's shook over New York. And I'm just like, come on. That's where it just fails to me.
So it sounds like you're saying, and I'm not saying you're wrong, it sounds like you're saying they should have not referenced New York at all. This movie should have stood on its own because...
Well, no, I'm not saying that.
Well, hold on, let me finish. Because if that's what you're saying, I agree with you because you're making the point that if you're going to reference the Avengers movie, then the bad guy in this movie should realize, well, my guys can shoot fire out of their mouth and super strong, but they can't fuck with the Hulk. So they should have kept the Avengers movie out of this altogether, and it might have been more believable. If that's what you're saying,
No, because what I'm saying is, okay, first of all, I'm saying, and as I mentioned earlier, the Mandarin was a hoax for something else. So first of all, I would not have done that, because to me, that's a shot to the audience. You're hyping this movie to be, oh, there's some new bad guy coming. We got this actor.
I'm with you 100%.
To be that. And then they pull that back, and he's just some drunk, you know, washed up actor playing this role. That's the bullshit, first of all, right there. I would have went ahead and just made him be some sort of, I would have tried to explain how he's doing all this shit, whatever. But I would have said, no, you can have the extremities dudes and the dudes shooting fire. But I would have said, well, yeah, at the end of the Avengers, my man walks off with David Banner. So apparently he's with them somewhere. Spoilers, David Banner is at the end of the end credits movie. I would have had him come in, cameo, whatever, turn into the Hulk. And they would have got it popping at the end. And this superhero action went down and would have saw some ass whooping and the crowd would cheer. That's what I would have done. But instead, we get a character who does not. Story says he isn't. He doesn't have really any suits. He just has some prototype, which was bullshit to me. And again, it's shooting its load all over the movie early. So yes, he has this new stuff where it flies into his hand and the suit flies to him. First time we saw that, that's kind of cool. Second time, okay. But they just do it all through the movie. Like, I was like, really? And how many times are we going to see him run and jump into the suit? It was like the same thing over and over. It wasn't exciting after a while. I was like, is he? I was waiting for him to, here's the brand new suit. And it's about to be on and popping. And he's going to be doing, isn't doing anything. There's none of that. There was no spectacle to it. They shot the load early. Iron Patriot, War Machine, I didn't do nothing. And like you said, when did Tony Stark become a badass paramilitary secret agent? He just walks into the you know, the secret base of the aliens and just taking cats down hand to hand, MacGyver style. When did he? Was he Captain America now? When is he doing that?
Right.
That didn't make no sense. Where was the training from? Because that means he could just walk up to Cap'n and can get it popping. Because he was doing Jason Bourne. Like, I was like, really?
That scene was like, and even that scene, I felt like I was watching a James Bond movie. Even the music, I thought it was supposed to be a joke because even the music sounded like it was from James Bond during that scene.
Yeah, I can't get it.
Let me back up. Go ahead. I can here's the thing. I can forgive that. I can divorce this movie from the events of the Avengers, okay? I mean, I can do that to a certain degree because then you would never be able to tell a story with these individual characters. So I can let that go. But see, I thought this is where you were going, and I would agree with you. If you want me to suspend the fact that S.H.I.E.L.D. no longer exists in this world for whatever reason, that these characters, and even in the Easter egg, they show Tony Stark talking. It was a funny scene. They show Tony Stark talking to Bruce Banner. But if you want me to divorce this movie from the events of the Avengers, stop bringing it up every 5 minutes.
Well, and that's the thing. And that's why I'm like, I don't know. I guess, let me say this. Let me back up. This movie was okay. For me personally, it's a major disappointment. It doesn't work with the shared universe the way I would like it to. It doesn't even work in terms of all the stuff they were doing in Iron Man 2, where, again, the presence of the other Marvel universe was so heavy. So when you and then you have the major movie of the Avengers where they're all together and then you break them up. This, to me, failed the test that they could make a movie after all of that and it holds up. This one, to me, doesn't hold up. Now, to other people, it may be fine, and I could see why. But to me, I want to see the even if it's just a mention of S.H.I.E.L.D. And they did mention it, but it didn't make any sense to me why they weren't just somehow around or something. It didn't make any sense to me why David Banner wasn't in more of the movie. That stuff that happened after the credits, to me, that should have been in the movie. I would have had that in the actual movie. And it was like, look, it's getting hectic out here, David. And, you know, that's what I would have did.
Hey, let me just clarify. Go ahead. I just want to clarify real quick for the listeners. The character of Banner, it's actually Bruce Banner in the comics. It was only David Banner in the TV show.
Oh, my bad. Damn. I didn't even
know. I just wanted to
revoke my card. So, yeah, I'm talking about the Hulk, whatever. But, yeah, man, it just didn't work for me. The little kid.
Yeah, please, Mike, tell me why did they – okay. So I can understand Tony Stark. I forget the circumstances where he's right. Oh, right. He's escaping his house, getting
blown up. Suit flies him to what is it, Tennessee or something like
why
that?
Why does it fly to Tennessee? I mean, I know why they said it in Tennessee because that's where one of the extremist soldiers grew up or something like that. But why did the screenwriters make Tennessee? Why did they make it so Tennessee heavy? At what point in the writer's room did they say, okay, we're going to have Act 2 all take place in Tennessee? I'm like, why? What was the state of Tennessee, did they pay for some sort of product placement or something?
Let me say this, because you just reminded me. In China, there is a different version of this movie.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's got different scenes in it. I don't know if you remember early on in the movie in that flashback part, there was an Asian gentleman that he ended up being introduced to or something, and he kind of just plays it off. Well, apparently, there's some more scenes with that guy in the China version, and there's some explicit product placement stuff going on in the movie dealing with that. And apparently a lot of China's audience, even though the movie is successful, is like they're not feeling it. But what that tells me is that, and I hate to say, but Disney, I don't know what the hell you're doing, but they're definitely taking some money, putting shit in the movie, you know, placement type stuff. So it doesn't put, I don't put nothing past what you're saying here. If they weren't paid to do certain things, which is, that's terrible to me, but.
You know, it's interesting. You bring up that character. The guy, if I'm not mistaken, the guy who introduces him to that character was the name of the scientist in the original Tales of Suspense who helped Tony Stark build the Iron Man suit. Hmm. And the guy himself, the guy you were just talking about, his name was Mr. Wu, I think. That was the name of, I think that was the name of the terrorist that Tony Stark kills in the very first appearance of Iron Man in Tales of Suspense. So I thought that was interesting. I thought maybe they were going to do something with that, but I'm kind of glad they didn't. But I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and I don't want to rag on this movie because it isn't any worse than the other ones, and for some, it may be even better. But for me, like I said, I can only judge it from what I expected from that movie. I thought coming off of the Avengers, they were just going to go, it's like, well, you got to top that, or you got to at least be on that level. It was just more of the same sort of, hey, let's focus on, you know, the guy outside of the suit and what's going on in his world. You know, we're going to get into his character. And, you know, we got this great actor who was very recognizable. Of course, we have to show his face, blah, blah, blah. But again, I want to see superhero action. You can do all the characterization, just like with Batman. You can have all the Bruce Wayne stuff. Listen, I don't want to see that. I want to see the superhero. I want to see him in the suit on, getting it popping. It doesn't have to be a super deep story. I just need to see popcorn action. To me, the action scenes were okay. But again, this movie was just a major disappointment. I didn't like the ending at all either. The whole thing would blow, you know, start over and blow up all the suits. And, you know, that shit was like, I was shaking my head. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I don't want to see Tony Stark. I want to see Iron Man. Why are you doing this? It's almost like they're trying to end it. I just like.
Well, that same article that I read from Entertainment Weekly, they were saying that. They were suggesting, I can't remember if this was verified or that Robert Downey Jr., his fulfillment is done.
It is. I've seen him on a recent interview like the last couple of days ago, and he's openly said, I'm renegotiating with them. You know, so, yeah, I am saying a lot of this shit, and, you know, he's going to try to get his money. But
they were speculating that, well, Shane Black said, and this is a paraphrase from a quote, that, you know, something happens at the end of the movie where some of the people in Shane Black's camp were like, "What? Wow, that's I don't know, how are they going to write this out of the Avengers 2? How are they going to make this work for Avengers 2?" And Shane Black was like, "That's Joss Whedon's problem, not mine."
Well, I will say this. I said this on Facebook. Wake me when Whedon's back, because I need a comic book head to be directing these movies, because I'm not trying to see the inner turmoil of Tony Stark, Bruce Wayne, or Peter Parker. I need to see the title character, because that's why you're selling it. That's what I pay to see. I need more suit time. That's all I'm good, man. Like I say, this is all right to me, but if it ain't all right for you, it ain't all right for me. What, you know? Hey, whatever, man. That's all I like.
Mike, you about to.
I'm mad. I'm black and I'm mad.
You about to wet somebody, dude.
Here, let me read this real quick. Robert Downey Jr. renegotiating contract with Marvel. This is from Geekscape, one of my favorite sites. Quote says, Marvel Studios, Iron Man 3. Oh, wait. No, never mind. This is a video link. Actually, he was on the Daily Show. I'm not going to play this, but this was a couple of days ago. He openly says Robert Downey Jr. appeared on the Daily Show and revealed to the audience that he is currently renegotiating his contract at the moment with Marvel, which means he may see a few more outings with him as the Armored Avenger in the future. And again, you best believe Disney will open the pay. He's basically going to be the Robert. What's the guy they do all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies? Johnny Depp. He'll be like Johnny Depp. They give him whatever he wants. There's no way they're not going to give him the money. Just like Johnny Depp when he was like, well, it's time for me. Whatever he need. You want to do this other movie too? Sure. Go ahead. He's a cash cow.
Well, backing up a little bit, I want to say, having said all that we've said, there were some scenes in this movie that, to me, were on an equal par as some of the scenes in The Avengers. There's this, and I'll just lay out a few. There's a scene where, everyone's seen the scene where the hillside house gets blown up. That's a pretty impressive scene, and it was pretty badass how he had the armor. I don't know how he does this. Now, I'm going to nitpick a little bit. I don't know how he is able to have the armor fly wherever he wants it to go. But the way he gets Pepper Potts out of that situation because she's in the house when the house is being destroyed is very cool. The scene where he has to save the people that are falling out of the sky, probably the best scene in the movie.
Why was I falling asleep on that?
I don't know. That was a great but you know what? Even then, I got to say this. A couple things. I'm going to go. I want another 15 minutes on this movie, okay?
Go ahead.
To me, it's not cool to see Tony Stark operating all these machines without him in them, without him in a suit. Because to me, it cheapens, to me, it's like a punk move to see the hero sitting from a distance while the armor is fighting. That cheapens the superhero aspect of it. It doesn't put him in jeopardy at all. And to see, you know what I'm trying to say? It's like,
yeah, I agree.
That is not what I want to see. That's like Rock'em Sock'em Robots. So I don't know. The whole scene at the end where all these, and how is he controlling these robots? That's a hell of a Wi-Fi he's got.
It's AI, man.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, forget about building his suits. He needs to make money off of Jarvis, because Jarvis is a bad motherfucker, man.
You know what they should have focused on, which I saw it in the trailer, and when I saw the scene, I thought, man, this would have been the thing to go about. Remember when he was sleeping and he was having I don't know if he's having a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
the suit rushed up on Potter?
Pepper,
excuse me. And the suit was up on her like, bitch, back up.
Yeah.
And it was on his own. That's, to me, what the movie should have been more like. This shit is out of control. Like, he's losing control with reality, or the machine shit has got a bond to him or something like that. To me, that would have been more interesting. Because that was like, whoa, this dude is... That's when I was like, okay, yeah, he's dangerous to be around because this right, shit... You know, right. But they don't really... It just was like, and she walks out the room. It's like, and that was it.
I agree with you. That's a brilliant observation, man. That would have been a far more interesting story. Yeah, you're right. I did find that interesting. That was like, wow. So he can't... To a certain degree, he's almost like Bruce Banner. He can't control the strength of his suits of armor. That would have, and he's dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. That would have been a great plot, and it would have worked more with instead of shoehorning these ridiculous scenes where, for no reason, he starts having panic attacks and then they just go away and he's fine. That would have been far more interesting. Yeah, I agree.
When it first starts, I was like, okay, this is cool. And I, like I said, me personally, I wanted to reference the shit that happens, but this, what do you do with it? And so, like, when he's meeting with Rhodey and they're out eating, and I'm like, I like the fact that, yes, people know exactly who he is. And yeah, at the end of the Avengers, it showed that everybody knew who he was, right? Some people wanted to be Tony Stark and be all these other guys. They were their superheroes. And I was like, man, people walking up to him for autographs. I was like, this is interesting. And then he goes outside. He's got the armor just sitting out there, and he gets in it, and he's like having a bitch fit or something. Like, what the fuck? And I was like, so all those people don't see him tripping? Like, wouldn't they be like, rumors have it that Tony Stark is losing? That's what I thought the movie was going to be about. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this guy is dangerous. Like, we can't have him out here. He can't handle it. I thought that Rhodey was going to have to take him down or something.
Kind of like taking it towards the demon in the bottle aspect,
or
right?
Something. That's what I was like, okay, but it doesn't do any of that. And he goes isolate the character away from everybody and put him in Tennessee. And I'm like, okay, that's an easy way for him not to have to deal with nothing. And then, like, when the people do see him, some people don't even react to him, which I was like, see, this is the thing. I'm a nitpick, but a little bit. I'm like, okay, there's aliens that just invaded a city or tried to. That would be on the mind of every single freaking human being on the planet. You know what I mean? And they would know every person who had a part of that. So Tony Stark, you know, most recognizable faces on the planet. Thor, you know what I mean? It's just like with when the bombing happens here. So imagine it was on a global sort of scale, like, yo, invaders from space came, son. Like, he wouldn't be able to just walk in no hardware store and buying up shit. The whole thing about him and the kid, more I think about this movie, I have problems. The whole part with the kid was really, it was funny sometimes, but it really is corny. Like, where was a child's parents?
Very good question.
How was he just going to be up in a place? And the kid just going, it didn't make no sense, man. Like,
And then Tony Stark laces him at the end of the movie. It's like,
really? Yeah, really?
You're giving this kid all this crap. He might build a bomb or some shit. Yeah, there was a Mustang in the joint.
And he just refurbished it. Like, his parents don't know shit about that. Like, what is going on? God, man, I gotta say
it was very strange. Let me ask you another question. Did you read the Extremist story arc?
I only read like the first issue of it, so I don't know all about it.
Well, I downloaded the story arc. It was probably like 8 issues.
Okay,
it's very good. It's very good.
They actually even made it into a motion comic. I believe it's on Netflix. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking, it seemed like to me that was another failed opportunity, because in the book, what happens is Tony Stark uses Extremis to create the ability to bond with the armor so that he can fight the Extremis soldiers. But in this movie, they just start off with him being able to do that. It has nothing to do with Extremis.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a failed opportunity as well. But actually, what happened in the comic book was he was fighting one of the soldiers. Well, there was one guy who was like badass, and he kicks Tony Stark's ass, and Tony Stark is close to death, and he tells his lab assistant to inject him with Extremis, so that he can heal.
I got to ask you a question. I may have dozed off on this. How did Pepper Potts get that shit in her?
Get what?
Remember, she was one of those extremists at the end. How did she get that?
Oh, that they explain. Remember when Tony turned into Jason Bourne and just broke into the, what was it, in Miami, the compound in Miami?
Yeah.
Well, the guy, Aldrich Killian, I think his name was, he captures Tony Stark, and he shows that they have captured Pepper, and they're torturing her by injecting her with Extremis, because they say that during the time it takes for your body to either accept it or reject the serum, it's very painful. So they were torturing her. Okay. But you brought up another good point, something I just didn't buy. When she falls and we're supposed to think she got killed. Why does he? We all know that she's not going to die because she. We know what's going to happen. Why is he all upset? He saw her being injected with this extremis, and then when she shows up again, she's alive. So why is that? Mm-hmm. That didn't work either.
Marvel.
So, I don't know why. You know why? Why did they have to resort to it being? Why couldn't we see another costume, a villain for the guys for Iron Man to fight? Yeah, we have yet to see that. I mean, we saw Whiplash, but that was not a majority of the movie for Iron Man 2. I mean, Whiplash was on the screen for maybe as Whiplash, maybe 10 minutes.
And really, in my opinion, none of the villains from any of these three movies. This one sort of gives him more something, but because he wasn't really in the suit, but. None of the villains were really that good, period, in any of the movies, in my opinion. And you could argue and say that's the same in the Avengers, but.
Well, no. I'm gonna say, let me, I don't mean to cut you off, but.
Go ahead,
man. I'm going to say this. I think Loki was great in the event. Well, for the most part, Loki as a villain was great.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. I meant more in terms of threat level.
The Chitauri. I don't, as you know, and everyone listening knows, I was very disappointed with how weak the Chitauri were, that they weren't very effective. But as a concept, yes, they were good villains. They just weren't executed very well. They were just, like I said, video game targets.
And I agree with you. And that's what I said. The only thing about it, though, that movie just had so much kick-assness that, yeah, they were going to roll over anybody that threw at them, but it was spectacular fashion. This, to me, has none of that. If this movie kept everything it did that I didn't care for, but he was in that suit doing fantastical stuff and had the right poses and all the cool stuff going on, I wouldn't have cared. But for me, it didn't have none of that. So all this other stuff is just it was just the same old comic book movie that I don't like. Again, not enough what I come to see and more of what Hollywood thinks I want. And I'm surprised that Marvel went for that. So all I can think is, you know, they tried to make this sort of a standalone movie that sort of still exists after all of that. Will it be successful? I'm sure it will be. I just know for me, I'm good. It was all right. But I have high hopes for Captain America because from the concept art and just, again, I got to go off what I saw from Avengers. It's just going to be some more superhero action. And if that doesn't work, it doesn't work. The Thor, you know, they show the trailer for Thor. They're going to have to show some fantastical stuff because that just looked aight to me. So, again, wake me when Whedon is here because I need fantastic action, spectacle, ass-whipping coolness. I need to see the characters interacting with each other because that's what we want to see. So all this standard movie, Hollywood comic book movie, I'm good, man. This is all right. You know, it's all right, man. What's your final thoughts? We'll wrap this up. I get mad.
Like I say, there were some really good scenes in this movie, but there were things that they did. I mean, I can run down the list. One, why did they even have the Mandarin in this movie for it to end up to be what he was? Two, I still don't know what the motivation of the bad guy really was. I can come up with something, but I'm still not clear what he wanted out of the whole thing.
And let me ask you this. What was Tony Stark's turning point? Why was he not shook anymore?
Why was he not what?
Why wasn't he all nervous anymore? What was his turning point? Or was there a turning point?
That leads to number three. Why were they shoehorning in these lame attempts to tie back to the Avengers with this PTSD thing that only came every now and then when it was convenient? It was not needed whatsoever, and I don't see the point of it. And you actually, I think, made a great observation that speaks to the flaw of this movie, that they went down the wrong path. If you're going to do that PTSD thing, make it realistic and make the story, make that be the demon that he's fighting. Forget the Mandarin. Make the second demon not be the Mandarin. Make it Tony Stark dealing with the fact that, you know, not that he is having panic attacks, but he's reliving what happened in New York, and he can't control his armor, his suits of armor. But he still has to fight the main bad guy, which was that industrialist. Forget the Mandarin. That when I saw that scene, I was like, you've got to be joking. Are you serious? Imagine if the Joker in Dark Knight.
That would have been terrible.
I mean, the Mandarin is one of Iron Man's primary foes.
Knowing nothing about the Mandarin, I felt ripped off. I was like, what? Why even have him? And then I was waiting for him to be joking, like, actually, no, really, he is this evil dude. But then it was just like, this is bullshit. Like, I feel like they should just have Joe Pesci play that part or something. Like, what's... ah. Anyway.
Well, it's getting great reviews. Well, for the most part, great reviews. It's got 78% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, it went from 90 something to 70. But again,
I want to see what the comic book fans have to say.
Well, go on some of those comic book websites. There's a lot of people that's like, man, yeah. But let me, as I say, it's an okay movie. I know there's a lot of people who will watch this and will think it's cool. And I can see why, but I'm just judging it from a comic head, from a geeked out person, and from a fan of the Avengers. It ain't on that level. It's cool, but nah, man. I'm not trying to see some James Bond-ish, as you said, dude going through his struggles. This is not exciting enough to me. It was all right.
Well, I saw it today at IMAX 3D. Oh, by the way, save your money on the 3D.
3D is weak. Please.
I sat there waiting for the end, the Easter egg scene, and I saw a credit that said 3D conversion done by.
You saw that too. I saw that too. I was like, they ain't do shit.
I'm like, ain't that a bit? They didn't shoot it in 3D?
Oh, hell no. None of these movies ain't shooting in 3D. It's all bullshit, man. I don't even know.
Avatar was. And,
well, yeah, but I mean, you know, for the most part, most of them.
Well, Resident Evil 3 or 4, the one you saw?
Resident Evil?
I mean, some of these movies are shot in 3D. You can tell. The Hobbit was shot in 3D. But these conversion movies, you can keep that.
Yeah, it ain't worth it, man. Listen. Give us... Go ahead.
Let's do a. You want to do a rating, Mike?
Sure. My rating. What are we going? 5 out of 5 or what?
Out of 5.
I'll give it a 3 out of 5. And I'm going to see it again tomorrow because, again, maybe there's something. I'll give it another chance, but I say 3 out of 5. It's all right.
And that's fair. You know, that's. I think going to see it again, even though you. We both complained about it. There's nothing wrong with that. Like I said, when I first saw Terminator 2, I hated it. What? But, well, yeah, I did. We're not going to get into that. But I hated it because it was the same story as Terminator 1. It wasn't and it's called Judgment Day. I want to see some shit going down, apocalyptic planet style, you know, with Terminators. But I can appreciate that movie on multiple viewings. I can appreciate it for what it is. I would say you going to go see this movie again. I can completely understand that. Because you've already had your first impression. Now you're just going to go and give it a chance, you know. I would say, despite all the things that we've said, I think there are some scenes that merit going to see the movie. And I would give it a 3 out of 5 as well. But if you are into the comics and if you saw the Avengers, I don't know, if you're into the Iron Man lore, I would think even if you know what, like you said, even if you're not into Iron Man and you are going because of what you saw in the trailers, I think you would be, if you were into plotting and characters, you'll be very disappointed in that third act when you see what happens to the Mandarin. But having said that, I would give it 3 out of 5 stars because there are some really good action sequences. But and by the way, the movie theater I saw, the people were actually clapping. I was like, for real?
Yeah, like I said, I think people will enjoy it. I just have, for me, it's a different standard. I was not impressed, but I'll watch it again. Maybe I'll like it. My expectations were so high, and that's a lot of it.
Can I say one last thing? And it'll probably get you going again. But to your point about you want to see the man in the suit, you didn't like the fact there was a lot of Tony Stark, kind of like Dark Knight Rises. See, for me, seeing more of Bruce Wayne out of the Batman suit, it didn't bother me, and I'll tell you why. It didn't bother me as much as it did seeing Tony Stark out of the Iron Man suit. And the reason is because Batman, Bruce Wayne, whether he wears a suit or not, is a badass, okay?
Yeah.
So I don't mind seeing Bruce. It worked for me in The Dark Knight Rises because it's not the Batman suit per se that makes Bruce Wayne an interesting character, okay? It's the fact that he's this billionaire who has these skills and he's on a mission, you know, because he's haunted by being killed, his parents being killed in front of him. The suit is just a bonus to me. Oh, with Tony Stark, he's not until we saw this movie, he's not supposed to be a badass fighter. So I need to see him in the suit. I don't want to see a lot of Tony Stark, but I want to see him in the suit because that's what makes him badass. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Well, I mean, he's called Iron Man. It's all about the suit, right? It's I already said what I had to say. To your point of the Batman thing, that's cool. I can see your point. I don't agree with it because it's not called Bruce Wayne. It's called Batman. That character has survived as long because of Batman, not because of Bruce Wayne. When the cartoon series comes on, it's Batman. When the comic book, it's Batman. So Christopher Nolan did a great job. Yeah, but I'm just saying, man, these comic book movies, they're called superhero movies for a reason. The title character is title character on the poster in the marquee for a reason. And until that reason changes, I need to see them in the costume with the mask on the face. Otherwise, I'm good. It's all right. Spider-Man, leave the hood, leave the mask on.
Yeah.
Iron Man. Now, I was looking at that poster, they definitely told me up front what I was getting. So you ain't got no mask on, armor's all ripped up. That man, so much time in this movie not in the armor. That shit is bullshit in itself. But go see it for yourself, ladies and gentlemen.
And the last thing is, if there's an Iron Man 4, make it less of a comedy. I know Robert Downey Jr. plays it funny, and that's what made the first movie, and to me, still the best of the three because of what he brings to the role. And I think Marvel has completely redone the character of Tony Stark to suit what Robert Downey Jr. did in Iron Man, the first one. Because Tony Stark was not a wisecracking guy, at least when I was reading him from comics from the 60s to the 80s.
Well, and the Tony Stark that I see in the Avenger comics that I buy, he's not wisecracking necessarily there either, but I see what you're saying. I mean, you know.
I mean, the animated series,
and the animated one.
Yeah. And in the comics I've read recently, like Age of Ultron.
He's cracking jokes in Age of Ultron?
As far as I recall, I downloaded that a few months ago, and he was more joking around and stuff like that from what I recall, but Don't make it a comedy. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. is great, but you wouldn't be making jokes while you're being assaulted by all of these soldiers and you only have two guns. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So give Don Cheadle something better to do. Come on now.
I have to agree with you on that. So, all right.
Bring me Superman, please.
I tell you what, man. I'm almost scared to see that now because my hopes are so high on that one now. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to make it, Mike.
I'm putting all my hopes on the Man of Steel. And I want to be pleasantly surprised by the Wolverine.
By what?
By the Wolverine. surprised me on. I don't have high expectations on that, so I hope that that is a good movie.
You know what? I don't know why anyone would have high expectations for that, because that character has been in how many films now, and typically the creative juices only go down as you revisit these characters.
I would agree. I can only go by the trailers, which, you know, are not a good thing to do, but it looks to be at least a better take on it theme-wise than we've seen so far. There's a new trailer that has Silver Samurai in it. It all looks badass, but all these trailers can look badass. But again, I have low expectations, so hopefully they will be good, and I'll be like, whoa, I didn't expect that.
Well, you know, I don't know how you... I mean, putting aside what we said about Iron Man 3, you got Iron Man 3 coming off the Avengers, right? You've got Man of Steel. You've got Thor coming off the Avengers. To me, this Wolverine movie seems like it's just out of date or out of time. It doesn't seem like it matters.
I don't know. I mean, it just seems... It doesn't seem connected to those, which I have a problem with.
No, it's not connected. I'm just saying... If you got all these movies that are kind of like current, you know, and when I say current, because they're coming off the Avengers, which was a huge blockbuster, the Wolverine seems like yesterday's news to me.
Not to me. I mean, Wolverine's a badass character. I mean, the presentation of the Wolverine has always been top notch.
I'm talking about the franchise, Mike. I'm talking about the franchise.
Well, again, like I said, they're redoing, sort of re-energizing it, apparently. So that's why I'm like, I don't have high expectations. But from everything that I've heard and seen so far, looks like it will be dope. Or looks like it would be good, at least. Better than we've ever seen before. And just even the trailer, it doesn't seem hokey to me. Like, the other ones just look very hokey, sort of ninking, you know, ha-ha, you know, it's Wolverine. But this one, like, serious. It looks serious. It looks like the Wolverine from the comics when he went to Japan, and he's getting into all that stuff. And again, if it almost seems low-key-ish a little bit, which I don't mind, because in the trailer, at least, Claws is out. He's getting it in. And that's really all I need to see. I would love to see him in the costume, but at least he is being Wolverine. It's not the Logan movie. I don't, you know.
I'm gonna tell you why that movie. Well, I don't know, and this is just me talking. For me, Wolverine just does not work as a character, particularly on screen, because his ability is one that is a violent ability. His ability is one where when he attacks you, you have to die and you're going to bleed out. So this movie, if Wolverine is not R-rated, it's not going to be good.
Well, I would agree with you on some points, but even in the comic books, in the normal comic books, they don't let him do that either. So
I was going to get to that, Mike, but I didn't want to get clowned too hard. I feel the same way about him in the comic books. He can only do... Wolverine has to be part of an ensemble team, because they can call on Wolverine only when it's like balls to the wall. They got to take people out, because that's all he does. He has his berserker rage, and when he fights you, he's trying to kill you. So how often can you show that in a comic book or in the movies?
In the last movie, actually in all of them, well, at least I can think of X-Men 2 and...
Mike, you think about it. Every time...
Well, no, I'm saying he was killing people. They just don't show it. They don't show the blood. But, I mean, he was stabbing cats up in Wolverine.
How many people did he kill? He killed the...
Well, no, I'm saying in
what was her name? Deathstrike?
No. I'm saying in X-Men 2, what was the one where they come into the house? Like, he was going in on them cats. Again, they're not going to show the savage ripping of the guts, but, I mean... My assumption is that he's gutting those soldiers that came in there.
You're right, but to me, that's the same thing as just like a gunfight. I'm talking about when he has to fight his main nemesis in the movie.
Well, and again, I'm not disagreeing with you per se. I'm just saying, technically, yeah, he is killing people in these movies, but it's not and even in comics, well, the regular comics, they're not showing him gassing.
He's killing henchmen. He's not killing the people that matter.
Well, you would argue that maybe he did kill Death. What was the guy? Deadpool or whatever in the movie. He doesn't really have his own movie where he's got his own people.
I know.
So it's hard to say that, right? Like, I mean, who's he going to kill in the X-Men movie? He kills the Deathstrike girl or whatever that character was.
Right, but you know, if Wolverine on screen ever gets into a fight, if you know the only way he's going to win the fight is to kill the person, you know he's going to have to get his ass kicked, and then he's going to find an inner strength right at the end to kill the person. To me, when I see Wolverine squaring off against someone, I don't get excited because it's like, I know he's going to get his ass kicked because they can't allow him to kill the person right away unless it's just a henchman.
Well, I mean, you could arguably say that on any superhero movie. Batman ain't going to allow him to kill anybody.
No, in any superhero movie, the hero can knock the guy out and not kill him so that he comes back for a sequel or something.
Well, I mean, again, you argue to say that's the same thing with Wolverine. By circumstance, he may not kill a person. But I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. All I'm saying is I like the character. He is presented excellent on screen. I don't agree with the plots. I don't mean I agree with the plot of the story or the overall movie, but Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, to me, that's dope. If this movie just shows more care in what's going on, which it seems to do and what they say their intent is, I'm sort of excited about it. Again, I don't have high expectations, but looking at him, that's Wolverine to me. Like, he's dope.
Well, that's fine. I mean, that doesn't say anything to me. Looking at him, he looks like Wolverine. That's okay, big deal. What I'm saying is, to me, I'm not going to get interested in seeing a Wolverine movie, really, unless it's R-rated. Wolverine needs to be on the level of a Kick-Ass in terms of violence. Otherwise, it's bullshit.
I can see your point. I don't... There is that sort of Wolverine comics out there, you know, the Max line, which is very hardcore and shows all that.
He's got two sets of 3 6-inch claws. I want to see him use them effectively. I want to see blood, you know.
You want to see blood and gore, but again, I can understand that. I think that would be a great movie that I would love for them to do an R-rated Wolverine movie. I'd be there for that too. But either way, it has to be good. It could be like the Punisher movie, which was totally blood and gore, which is super over the top, ridiculous. It's not really good, but it was cool to see that, you know, over the top blood and guts. But again, I wouldn't call it a good movie. Then they could do Wolverine the same way. Again, either way they do it, I want them to be a good movie. And that's what it sort of seems like their intent. This is to make a good movie, which is what I ultimately want to see. But we'll see. You know, like I said, so that's what we got. We got Wolverine left, Man of Steel, Kick-Ass 2. Thor comes out a little later in November.
You know what? That reminds me. Yeah, so Thor's not coming out until November, huh?
Yeah.
I wonder why they're not releasing that in the summertime.
I don't think they just finished filming it and stuff, so.
That was the other thing about Iron Man 3. It was set in Christmas. Why?
Yeah, that was weird. I didn't really... Because it adds nothing to the story from what I can remember.
This article said that Shane Black, actually it was the guys at Spill.com, they said that, I mean, I haven't followed Shane Black's work, but they said that just about all of his movies is set during the holiday season. I don't know. So, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. Iron Man 3. See it for yourself. Let us know what you think. Next up is Star Trek. J.J. Abrams. I actually saw a review of that movie yesterday, and it was a pretty good review. They said, like, you know, if we were to stop and think about this movie, it could be some problems, but it was just such a fun sort of action-packed movie that they enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to that. J.J. Abrams, of course, is doing Star Wars next. He has come out and said that he fully intends to have John Williams on board, which if he didn't, we would have some problems. because
that means we're going to hear the John Williams score, huh?
You have to. I mean, this let's not get crazy. They're not redoing. They're not rebooting Star Wars. They're just making a new one. So I fully expect. I mean, if you're going to have Harrison Ford and all these cats, you better have some John Williams crazy. I don't want to hear no Hans Zimmer, Daft Punk Star Wars soundtrack.
But I was thinking,
fuck out of here.
It's interesting that, you know, you got Superman, which is, to me is kind of tied to that John Williams score. But, you know, they got Hans Zimmer doing the score. Okay, that's cool. And in all the Star Trek movies from, like, with the original crew, they had that. They had the score, if you remember the score from the original 70s movie, right? That was used in the Next Generation TV show.
Right, but this Star Wars is a direct sequel. These are those movies.
No, but not direct sequels. My point was going to be that in all of the Star Trek movies, the score was never the same in any of them. They were all different. And okay, that's cool. I can accept that. I was agreeing with you. You cannot fuck with that Star Wars score.
No, I mean that's the score of Star Wars. Now each character may have different thematic themes. Some characters' themes bleed over because is Anakin and it's Darth Vader, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, unless they're trying to reboot it, there's no reason to change anything. It would be absurd to change. That's, you know, the thing that I nitpick on is, even though I know this isn't a 20th Century Fox movie, it almost isn't the same movie if it doesn't have that 20th Century Fox thing at the beginning, because that is, to me is such a part of Star Wars that I almost wish they would just pay them so they could put that in there anyway.
And like that Lucas, you got to see that Lucas film. I want to see that. I don't know why, but you know.
Yeah.
So that means we're going to see that ridiculous animation of the Walt Disney castle at the beginning of a Star Wars movie?
Well, no, you don't see it in the beginning of a Marvel movie, so I don't think
that's true. Change it.
So there we go. Star Trek next. Iron Man 3. Marvel, get it together for me, please. Come on now. Whedon. It's all on Whedon, baby. I thought there was going to be a hint of what's to come. Like, this sort of disappointed me a little bit.
I was expecting to see, I sat through the credits, and it was weird, man. When it got to the visual effects credits or the CGI.
Was that the one where there was a big block of people's names?
Oh, my God. Damn, all those people put that together. Come on.
Yeah, that was crazy.
But I sat through all the credits, and I'm thinking, okay, just like in all the... and I have another question for you after I finish this one, but just like in all the Phase 1 movies where there was a scene that led you to understand what's going to be coming up, I was hoping to see... Now, the scene with Bruce Banner and Tony Stark was one of the best scenes in the movie, to be honest. But I was a little disappointed, too, that it was like, okay, you're not showing me how this is going to move ahead. I was hoping to see something with Thor, since that's the next movie, right?
Yeah, I was hoping to see something with Guardians of the Galaxy, the last thing we saw was Thanos, which opens the door for, okay, this shit is huge. You know, goes beyond Earth. There's a whole another world out there. I was thinking, well, is there some way they're going to... I actually thought, a lot of people were saying, you're going to show Tony Stark fly out to space. And that sets off the next things going on. But, you know, I don't know. This movie almost seems like it was made in a vacuum a little bit. Whether that was smart or not, we will see. It wasn't as integrated into the movies as Iron Man 2. Now, some people thought that was a little too much in Iron Man 2. You know, yeah, Black Widow. You know, Samuel Jackson and all that. And yeah, but for me, I don't know. It's supposed to be all Marvel Universe. I kind of was looking for, I wanted to see a little more of the presence But like I said, we have Thor. Thor seems to be like it's going to be in another world, so I don't know how tied in that would be. I'm just waiting for the Captain, Iron Soldier. There are pictures now that are sort of surface of Anthony Mackie as Falcon. He just looked like some paramilitary sort of dude. But we will see. We will see. Bring me Jor-El.
But my question is, I keep hearing about the Iron Man 3 starts phase 2 is being categorized. What does that mean?
Well, that would mean, so we had phase 1, which was the first set of movies. Now phase 2 would be the movies that lead up to Avengers 2. Phase 2 will be, I don't know how this plays into phase 2. Maybe there's things going on here that we don't understand yet, but there would be this movie. The next one is Thor, Captain America. I don't know if Guardians comes first before Avengers 2, but obviously we're going into space. It's going cosmic. So phase 2. Phase 3 apparently would be like things like Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, and blah, blah. There's the rumor of the Black Panther movie is going around again, where they're trying to cast that. Josh Whedon has even sort of hinted that Scarlet Witch and other characters will be in Avengers 2, even hinting at Thanos being reserved for Avengers 3. So who knows, man? It just better be kick-ass. That's all I got to say. Again, this movie will be highly successful. I don't doubt it. It's just
awesome. Well, like I said, people that were walking out of the theater were very happy with it. It's like, you must not. Okay, I'm glad you liked it. I didn't hate it, but I was sure as hell wasn't clapping for it.
Yeah, it was just okay. So there you go. I'm just excited for the next stuff. I guess we could say the summer movie season has started to a degree. Iron Man kicked it off.
Well, like I say, we've already discussed this, but I hope Man of Steel delivers from what I saw in that trailer, the last trailer.
Yeah, high hopes. I hate to go in there with super high expectations. There really is no reason for me to have that because the last Superman movie wasn't about nothing. But we will see. I think we will be. I hope that it plays more as a summer adventure movie that has a lot of kick-ass actions. PG-13. So we will see, man. It's coming quick. Coming quick. I got high hopes for, I think Star Trek looks fun. So we'll see. Lastly, I will end by saying I did watch I can't think of what it is. I think it's called Superman Unbounded. It's the new...
Superman Unchained?
Is that what it's called? It's the new animated movie?
I'm thinking of Django.
Hilarious. No,
it's Superman Unchained, isn't it?
No, Superman Unbound. Superman Unchained is the comic book that's coming out. So it's Superman Unbound. I think it comes out next week. It's the new animated movie from DC. It is a retelling of the Brainiac storyline that came out a few years ago, written by Geoff Johns and drawn by my artist that I love, Gary Frank. Pretty, it was an entertaining animated movie. A lot more PG-13-ish as than the normal. There's a hilarious scene in there where Lois Lane gives a double finger to Brainiac. I was actually kind of shocked by that. I was like, wow. But it was pretty good. It was a lot of action. The artwork, sort of cartoony a little bit, but you can see the sort of the very anime nods and when it gets to the real action parts. But it was really good. It's about Brainiac going through the universe, taking samples, and he went to Krypton and took the bottle, that city that he has in the bottle. I can't think of the name of right now. But deals with that. So check that out. Superman Unbound, action-packed movie for sure. And it ends with a sort of an interesting cliffhanger. It was not nothing that you haven't ever heard before, but just kind of interesting that it would end like that. This movie pushes it a lot. There's a lot of blood in this movie, for whatever reasons, but it's a lot of good action.
I'm surprised they have him in the old suit with the underwear on the outside.
Do they? I didn't even remember, but...
Well, I'm on Wikipedia. I'm looking at images. I'm assuming they're from the film.
Oh, okay. Hey, Mike. Well, I think it's from the comic book where he was like that, but it's pretty good. I'll leave it at that. It's interesting, but it's, you know, you don't have to hunt it down, but it's pretty decent. Any last things from yourself there, sir? Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you about. We mentioned the Injustice comic book. So you got a chance to read that. What do you think about it?
Well, in talking offline, I got to tell you, man, if you do a DC movie, do that. That's one of the best comic books I've read. Now, I think, I don't know how many issues are in the series. I read up to issue number 15. And it hasn't resolved yet, so I don't know how often they're coming out.
I think it's like every week, actually. The digital ones, every week.
The digital ones? Okay. I'm just saying, one of the best storylines I've read in a long time. There's only one flaw that they don't explain, and that is why no one is pulling out that kryptonite on Superman to stop him from doing what he's doing. But, and that could be explained very simply. I don't know why they're overlooking that. It's a huge plot hole. But other than that, it's good to see. I mean, if you had the powers of Superman, if a regular human had the powers of Superman, or if you came from Krypton to Earth, and as a teenager you realized you could do that, what he's doing now is probably what most people would do. And it's good to see that, you know what I mean? It's good to see Superman go raw. I mean, it's not funny, but there's a couple scenes I die laughing when I think about them. Like the scene where this corny character named Galaxor or something like that from Canada, I want to say, or Australia or something. He tries to jump bad with Superman and Wonder Woman, two of the most powerful beings in the DC universe, and says, "Get out of my country. You can't come here and tell us how to live our lives." And they take that dude, whack. And he has this look on his face like Loki did when the Hulk beat his ass. And you can hear the, at least in the comic book, you see the word, the sound effects of the guy's spine popping one by one.
That's fucked up that you find that funny.
It's not funny, but you know what I'm saying. Same thing with Aquaman. There's a scene where Aquaman, he's running his hands through his hair talking about, "Yo, get out my ocean, son." Okay? Superman's like, "Word? Okay." Next scene, he's flying off. He takes the whole city of Atlanta and drops that shit in the Sahara Desert. I'm like, "How you like me now?" And Aquaman comes back, he says to Wonder Woman, "Tell Superman I'm sorry about Lois." I love that. I mean, it's not funny, but I love seeing Superman go. You know he's going to turn back good, but it's so good to see him go raw.
Yeah.
Because it's real. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I really love about it. Can't nobody fuck with Superman, but they keep trying to. And I love seeing him smack people down because he's Superman. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, no, I agree. I'm actually going to go back and read all of those tonight. Cause I just it is a good series. I like Batman that you know that he's, you know, he's kind of like the conscious sort of like, dude, you're getting too out of line with this shit. And he's trying to show some of the other characters like, you know, don't be on his side. Like, this guy is losing it. We got to try and figure out a way to take him down. Yeah, the whole kryptonite thing, I think it may or may not be addressed. And again, it's not over yet. Right. I'm curious to see how they do end it. But, it's good. You know.
I don't know why the issues are so short.
Again, I think that this was initially it's a digital-only sort of thing. Again, you're right. It is number 15 is the current one. But in the stores, it's number 4 or 5. And again, it collects like 3 or 4 of those chapters into one book. So, you know, they're sort of doing a different sort of release on this.
We should mention, and the other thing that's really amazing about this series is that all it is, as far as I know, you correct me if I'm wrong, it's just a marketing tool for the video game
industry. True. Yes, it is.
It's kind of like that countdown series they did with Star Trek for the first new Star Trek movie. It's not.
This is an alternate take on those heroes. You're right. It is for the video game. And surprisingly, it's actually really good.
And there's one issue, I think it's issue number 14, where when I first read it, I thought it was on some bullshit. It was like a waste of time. It's the issue where all it is the Flash.
All right.
Feeling like shit for not stepping in. And when I read it, because the issues are so short, I was like, man, come on, don't waste my time. I want to keep the story moving. But then when I reread it, I was like, that is pretty amazing. They spent a whole issue just dealing with a character who feels guilty, and that's it's real. You know what I mean?
So yeah, that's very good.
Unfortunately, though, I don't know if I should spoil it about the Joker. They take the Superman. Well, I think you already mentioned it. Superman basically goes and kills the Joker, so one of the main characters is out. But you know, I guess that they had to do that. I think that was necessary to show Superman has snapped.
Well, yeah, that's always one of those things that, you know, it's sort of a theme they had in Batman. It's like, why are you allowing this guy to exist, man? Like, how many people has he killed? And he can't be rehabilitated, right? Like, you put him in Arkham so many times, he still gets out. He's still killing people. Why not take that guy down? You know, and Superman's, took down Lois Lane. Like, you know, you don't want to mess with that. And yeah,
right.
I'm gonna lock down this whole world then, since y'all don't want to act right and y'all don't kill my peoples. Not having it. And Wonder Woman, I like Wonder Woman's character because she's like pumping him up, like, yeah,
you should. She wants some of that ass. That's what she
But she's like, yeah, they don't deserve. You know, you should go hard on them. We're powerful. But yeah, it's good. A better take on this and a very similar sort of theme, which doesn't get to be fully realized, unfortunately, is Supreme Power. Sort of the similar sort of stuff going on leading up to that. But yeah, good take on Justice League. It would make a great movie.
Isn't Kingdom Come sort of similar too? I read that last year.
Yes, I think you're right. I do have that actually, bro. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to make another comment about Injustice. I highly recommend it. It's one of the best storylines I've read in quite a while.
Yeah, let me just run down what we got coming up and we'll wrap it up. So, of course, Iron Man 3, The Great Gatsby. I kind of want to see that. That's next weekend, the 10th. Star Trek Into Darkness, the 17th. I'll throw it in there. Fast and Furious 6 on the 24th. You know, there's a movie that I keep seeing the trailer for and I have no desire to see it whatsoever. Is The Hangover Part 3.
Wow.
That movie looks
really
corny to me, man.
Another Hangover movie?
Yeah, they show the trailers on that heavy.
I hope they all die in this one. I really do.
A movie that I want to see. I don't know if you want to see it much, but After Earth, which is the Will Smith's.
Yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan. May 31st.
Yeah.
Let's see. I kind of want to see This Is the End. Have you seen
this? Oh, I'll definitely want to see that.
Yeah, June 14th. James Franco. A lot of other comedians in that. Man of Steel is June 14th.
Okay.
So, yeah, definitely going to see that. There's a movie that they showed at the beginning of Iron Man, and I'm just like, really? This looks like a money grab. It looks corny. Monsters University. The Pixar. Oh.
I don't know. I think that movie could stand a sequel. Well, it's more of a prequel.
Yeah, I just, they could make new shit. I don't understand why. I mean, I know why they're going back to it, but I just kind of like, I'm surprised.
Yeah, they could create new characters that may not hit, or they could use characters that they know everyone loves.
True, but I mean, like, this Pixar, they used to have a higher standard. Like, now I see them kind of going back to the well on some of their stuff. I just like, eh. But anyway, World War Z. I definitely will be there to see that. June 21st. Brad Pitt. I don't know. I will see it, though. I don't have no expectations. White House Down is another President White House being
Who's the hero on that one?
Is it Stockard Channing? Is that his name? He's the guy who was in G.I. Joe and Magic Mike.
Mike, you've been killing me. So he said Stockard Channing. That's the woman that was in Grease.
That's what I thought. But his name is similar, isn't it?
Channing Tatum.
I don't know. They all look alike to me.
Oh.
let's see. I'm not going to see it, but The Lone Ranger. July 3rd. Now, here's a movie that I am all ready to see. I keep forgetting about this. Pacific Rim. I posted the new trailer on Podcast Juice. Ah, man. I can't wait. There's another trailer that just came out strictly for Japan. It was made specifically for Japan. It even has Del Toro at the beginning explaining that he, I believe, is he either saying there is a slightly different version of the movie or there's a different trailer for Japan? Like, he's like, listen, I want y'all to know that this movie is a homage to, you know, the mecha anime, you know, style, and I'm totally studied and I want to present this to you people. So and that's the shit I love. So I cannot wait to see this movie, Pacific Rim. Well, go ahead.
What's funny is that a little over a year ago, you and I had the same conversation about Battleship. And I said, Mike, why would you want to go see that? You've seen all the Transformer movies. You've seen Battleship. I saw it and loved it. I'm one of the few people in the world that did. But now I'm looking at this one. I feel the same way. Why would I want to go see this?
Well, like I said, for the people who... When I see this, I just see Robotech, Neo Genesis, all those classic anime cartoons brought to life, and I can see that's what their intent is. And so for me, I'm all in. If it doesn't do any good, whatever, but I can tell they went at this with love. Let's look at the details of what's going on. Looks amazing. Keep moving. Red 2. I haven't even seen Red, the first one, but that comes. Red 2 is July 19th.
I'll pass on that.
The Wolverine, July 26th. It's funny to me. Smurfs 2, July 31st. Elysium. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Elysium,
August the 9th. Definitely got to see that. Kick-Ass 2. It's August 16th.
I'm there for that one.
So, yeah, there you go. That's pretty the bigger movies of this summer. So,
it's still strange to me why Thor is being put up. Well, I guess you're saying because they're not going to have it ready in time, right?
Yeah, I don't think it was. It wasn't never made to be a summer release. Even when they first announced it before they even made it. So, this is the year for Iron Man. They're going to let, you know. Disney got burners coming for the next few years. They're going to have it on lock, regardless. Star Wars, Avengers 2, Captain America, Thor. And Star Wars, supposedly every year, which that's another show.
Yeah, it is. Because I'll tell you what, I love Hershey's Kisses. If I eat too many of them, I get sick of them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, there we go. All right, we got to wrap it up. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Podcast Juice. Dive.net. This is Geeked Out. Q Storm. Michael Dean, Q Storm, what is the name of your site? Are you ready to say that yet?
Yeah, I finished the main site, which is QStorm.com. I'm on Twitter, QStorm3476, Facebook. You know, you can reach me under my real, like Clark Kent and Superman, under my real name, Michael Jones. And I am right now working on a blog where I can just run my mouth like I do on Facebook and every place else and on this podcast. So that'll be up soon. That'll be up hopefully by next week. And you can see reviews of Oblivion. You can see reviews of the Man of Steel trailer. And I'll be posting my review of Iron Man 3.
All right. And my name is Michael Dean. You can email me for some dick shots. And I was just joking.
Oh, what?
Yo, we out of here. I've been drinking podcast, Houston podcast, so I gotta go. Have a good one. Be safe. We love you.